Good morning, everybody. Good morning. You know it's time to worship when Leslie, my wife, plays that song, "Come, now is the time to worship." That was that song, so that's why we're starting. Welcome. My name's Stephen, the minister of the church here, and it's lovely to see you all. Old faces, young faces, people we've not seen for a while, just seen, and also people here for the first time. So a very warm welcome to you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that every time we gather together, you welcome us with open arms. You are so pleased to see us. Thank you that we have this opportunity to come together today, to meet with you, to receive your love, and to love you in response. I pray that you would create faith, strengthen faith in us today, that we might see you and know you and walk with you every day. Amen. Just have a quick look around, because there are so many new people here today. Do enjoy this moment. As I often say, this particular group of people, bear in mind we've got people from Suffolk and Hampshire and various other places, this particular group of people will never be together again until heaven. So make the most of your opportunity now, because we will never be together again, this particular group of people, until heaven. Isn't that an amazing thought? It's a sad thought in some ways, but it's the thing, make the most of it. So do make the most of it. We serve tea and coffee after the service. Do stay and chat, meet new people and so on. And if there's anything that's come out of the service that you think, I need to pray about this, I need someone to listen while I share, then do speak to me, speak to the people that welcomed you on the door, or any other friendly face, because we can all be an encouragement to people. Couple of notices. Firstly, we need help. We need help. The coffee morning on Friday is going... yes, you do need help, Jean. I heard that. We need help, particularly on Friday morning. Jean, who's got plenty of mouth, but not quite so much strength as she used to have... She doesn't have as much strength as she used to have. And quite wisely, she said, I can't do the serving teas and coffees. Because she was always doing it on a Friday, toddler cafe, on Wednesday and also on Sunday. And she's taking a break. And that's wise. Hilary, she's having a sleep at the moment. For those who don't know, Hilary's one of our deacons who had a collapsed lung, was put in an induced coma. Things are getting into balance. I understand that she'll be brought out of that induced coma this week. And my prayer is that she'll hear those words from Jesus, "Little girl, get up. Talitha kum, time to get up." But Hilary is one of the team as well. So half of the team aren't available anymore. So we need more. The Friday morning coffee morning, for many people, it's their first place of connection with the church. So we really need extra help. So speak to me afterwards. We've got lots of other people who will help when they're there, which is brilliant. But if we can have a couple of regular members to the team to help Carol and Diane, that'd be really good. Margaret is going to be finishing in September. And she said that after the age of 88, I think I've done my bit. And again, it's very wise, but because I've got other things for Margaret to do, because with Margaret and Barbara, they're coming into Pendennis, a care home, as they've done before. And for those who don't know, Colin Kenshaw and Cindy Kenshaw. Cindy has had to go to a care home, and while she was in Brixham, the phone call came through, there's a space in Pendennis, which is... literally 30 feet from where Colin lives. And it's the place where she and Colin and Cecil and June came with me to start doing a service. Now, Margaret and Barbara and myself and Colin will go and do the service with Cindy there. And so God is on the move. And it's a great encouragement. So help needed for coffee morning on Friday. Do speak to me. The other thing that's urgent is we need help with Sunday school. We have two wonderful leaders, Angela and Rowena. They need helpers to go with them. Again, people have been very faithful helping. I'm thinking of Josie here, has given notice. I need to now stop going out. I've done my time. I need to be here, not there. So could you, once a month, once every 2 months, work with our children for part of the service? That's what it's about. Rowena and Angela can tell you more. I can tell you more. But it's a great privilege to work with our young people. And, well, it is. It's just brilliant. The one more notice and then a thank you. Tomorrow morning, there's an early morning prayer meeting, as there is every Monday morning, has been for 25 years in the Bay and beyond, to pray for God's kingdom to come, to pray for churches, ministries. Every Monday, it's a different place, and it's led by the host church to start with, and then at the end, that church is prayed for. Tomorrow is our church. So as a one-off, I'm not suggesting you go every Monday morning at 6:30 to pray, but if you think, yes, I could be here 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow morning to pray, to receive prayer, because people will be praying for us tomorrow, as well as to pray for God's kingdom more widely, do come. It's 6:30 tomorrow. If you come earlier, you get tea and coffee. Thank you to Debbie for opening up for us and serving. Lastly, I want to give you a thank you for prayer. I'm not going to say a long thing now. We might share a little bit more later, and there'll be opportunities later on. But it's important today that I say a thank you for your prayers. For those who don't know, just about 3.5 weeks ago, the analysis finally came back of part of a lump that was taken out of my throat to confirm it was anaplastic cancer, which is the most aggressive cancer there is. The normal prognosis is 3 to 6 months, and that was 3.5 weeks ago. They rushed through an emergency CT scan before we went away on holiday, got the CT scan, got the holiday. During the holiday, God clearly said, "You are clean by the word that I've spoken to you." And we came back expecting the CT scan to be clear, and it was. So although the cancer's been there for 6 months, and it's the most aggressive form of cancer there is, it hasn't gone anywhere. And the word that God gave in various forms to us, by visions and words, is that he has contained the cancer, he has restrained the cancer, and he has repaired the damage it's done. We have been offered radiotherapy, that was mentioned in the email that went round. But it's quite clearly, because God has said you're healed, there's no point doing very destructive radiotherapy, trying to kill off something that isn't there. And so although I haven't had the conversation with the nurse yet, it will happen, imagine Monday, to say that we're not having radiotherapy. So God has given a specific word that you are healed. And I just want to read these words that come from Paul's letter, to the second letter that we have in the Bible, to the Corinthians. "I don't want you to be unaware," he says, "of the problems we had in Asia. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we learnt not to rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead. And he did deliver us from mortal danger, and we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you are helping to pray for us, by praying for us. As a result, many will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. That was our morning reading a couple of days ago. So that's a thank you, which, as we've often said, is an inadequate word for your prayers. And God has worked through those prayers, and we'll be telling a longer story another time. Let's worship. Let's pray, and then we'll worship. Lord, we thank you that by all sorts of ways and means, you show us that we are to rely upon you and no one else. Help us, even as we worship now, to see who you are and to declare our full commitment to you. Amen. Our first song is, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Thank you.
is only one who is holy. There is only one whose name is Jesus. There is only one who is worthy of praise. There's only one to whom all glory belongs. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Who was
Stephen through this these last few weeks, Lord. We pray to you, and we know you were going to answer it, and he's standing there this morning. And thank you for Leslie too. We ask a special blessing on them this morning, as they're here to worship you as we are. Amen.
Bless you.
I thank you, Lord, that Hillary is in a good place.
Thank you, Lord.
She's either with you in spirit form or in body on earth. I just pray for her family. There's Martin and Heather, Nick, Karen, and Barbara. We just lift them all up to you at this time and pray for the right decision through the power of the Holy Spirit. This I ask in your name, dear Jesus. Amen.
Father, we want to thank you for Jesus. We want to thank you, Father, that we can draw to the very throne of God because of Jesus and his obedience to you, Father. And so we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the power of the blood. We thank you for that freedom that it gives us to come and to worship. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's continue our worship with God, giving God our financial offering. If you've come prepared to give, then do. Our visitors, guests, we're just delighted to see you. We're not after your money, but if you would like to give, then by all means do so. But this is just an opportunity to say thank you to God for all he's done for us. Loving Father, we thank you for your wonderful gifts to us that are beyond number. Thank you for the privilege we have of giving to you, sharing in the work of your kingdom. Pray you multiply these gifts that many more people will come to know Jesus, his forgiveness and grace, and his abundant life. Amen. Right, we have two people to do our reading for us today. Andrew and Jean are going to do our reading for us. You'll be pleased to know it's a long reading and a short message. And I've already said to Alfie, think party, and that comes at the end of this reading. And then we've got just an activity, a drawing activity for you just to mention. But so think party.
This is Zechariah chapter 9, on page 954. We're following it in the Bibles in the church. I'm sharing it with my glamorous assistant. A prophecy. The word of the Lord is against the land of Hadrach, and I will come to rest on Damascus, for the eyes of all people and all the tribes of Israel are on the Lord, and on Hamath too, which borders on it, and on Tyre and Sidon, though they are very skillful. Tyre has built herself a stronghold. She has heaped up silver like dust and gold like the dirt of the streets. But the Lord will take away her possessions and destroy her power on the sea, and she will be consumed by fire. Ashkelon will see it and fear. Gaza will rise in agony, and Ekron too, for her hope will wither. Gaza will lose her king, and Ashkelon will be deserted. A mongrel people will occupy Ashdod, and I will put an end to the pride of the Philistines. I will take the blood from their mouths, the forbidden food from between their teeth. Those who are left will belong to our God and become a clan in Judah, and Ekron will be like the Jebusites. But I will encamp at my temple to guard it against marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people, for now I am keeping watch.
Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow, and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your son Zion against your sons Greece, and make you a warrior's sword.
Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet. He will march in the storms of the south. And the Lord Almighty will shield them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. They will drink and roar as with wine. They will be full like a bowl used for sprinkling the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save his people on that day, as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women.
Thank you very much. Alfie, I said to you right at the end there, I'd like just, in terms of, if you'd like to do a drawing, a picture of a party, for you can show the people around you, and you can show the rest of us if you want to. But the... Like you finished at the end there, how attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive and new wine the young women. It's a picture of a party at harvest time. And these people are attractive and beautiful. So in your drawing, if you want to, you can make the people really attractive and beautiful. Now, I have no idea, Alfie, what is attractive and beautiful to you. We will all have different views. There was a lady sat next to me on a table in Hammond's who had long brown hair. And Leslie knows that long brown hair is beautiful to me. Our daughters had long brown hair. Leslie has long brown hair. It's beautiful to me. But you might have a different view completely. So the picture is one of beautiful people, attractive people, having a party with lots of food and drink. And some people might like this type of food, that type of food, grain and new wine. It's a picture of abundance. So if you want to have a go, a party with as many people there as you like, dressed as you like, having as much fun as possible. That's the picture. Right. Well, I've not been here the last 2 weeks, and I've not yet had the opportunity to listen to what was said. So just to give a bit of context to chapter 9, which is where we are today, we're going through the book of Zechariah, and you may have heard that today and think, what on earth is going on? This is... Well, just in the last couple of chapters, in chapter 7, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, has told his people how they should live. They should uphold justice. They should show mercy and compassion. So through Zechariah, God is telling them how they should live. And in chapter 8, the Lord of hosts has promised to bless his people. And the blessing will be so great that many peoples and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem, the city of God, the people of God, and seek the Lord of hosts to entreat him, to ask him for help. We've heard this before earlier on in Zechariah. The time is coming when people of lots of other nations, not just the Jews, not just the Israelites, these people are going to come to him. In fact, to emphasize it, it says in verse 23 of verse 8, in those days, 10 men from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe and say, let us go with you, because we've heard God is with you. Can you imagine a time, and maybe it's coming soon, maybe it's even here, when people across our community, South Devon, in Suffolk, in Hampshire, as we're walking to church, they come up to us and say, let us come and go with you, because we've heard that God is with you. Why not? It's already happening.
Yeah.
It's already happening. Even today, it's happening. As we worship Jesus, as we love God, love one another, and love others, God will bless us. And others will want to come and meet with us. Not to see us, but to meet the God who is with us. It's the Jesus who has transformed our lives. So that's the background for chapter 9. Chapter 9 is a specific word in a particular time of history that God spoke through Zechariah for the people of Judah, God's people, around 480 years before Jesus was born. It makes it clear that God is going to deal with the enemies they had. Sat where it was on the edge of the Mediterranean, on all the trade routes between all these big powers in Iraq and Egypt and Syria and everywhere else, there was always trouble all around. There were always enemies all around Israel. And God makes it clear that he will deal with their enemies in the immediate future and within the next 200 years. But it also, as always, points to the future, to the coming of Jesus, and to even eternity in heaven. Verse 9 is at the center. And thank you for Gene and Andrew portioning that reading up for us, which emphasizes the fact that right in the middle, what does it say? And this isn't Palm Sunday today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We hear that reading every year on the Sunday before Easter, Palm Sunday, when we hear how Jesus came into Jerusalem on the back of a young donkey, a colt. Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. God is showing us today that the events of Easter 2,000 years ago were foretold centuries before. In fact, they're foretold in all the prophets. But Zechariah gives us this particular picture that Jesus would arrive on the donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. God is in charge. And if you don't remember anything else from today, God's in charge. God's in charge. He has foretold the things that are going to happen. And if you look at the very end of the chapter, the one I've got Alfie thinking about, the Lord their God will save them on that day as the flock of his people. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make the young men thrive and new wine the young women. It's an illustration of the joy of harvest time. When all the work is done and everyone can enjoy the fruit of the harvest. Grain and new wine. God loves a party. In the law, in the Bible, in Leviticus and other books that we often think as boring, and they can be a bit hard work, they're full of parties. It was the rule, it was the law that Israel had to celebrate and party every year, several times a year, and drink as much as they could drink, and eat as much as they could drink, anything they wanted they could buy and drink and eat. God is a great party giver. If any of you are thinking God's a bit of a bore, you're completely wrong. There's no one who throws a better party than God. He wants all people to celebrate his victories, his provision. He wants us to enjoy his presence and power now. He wants the people of Israel to enjoy his presence and power, the victories, the celebrations then. And he wants us to enjoy it forever. So the picture of harvest is both now and it's to come. It's a strange thing with a number of people dying in the congregation and a number of us having walked through the valley of the shadow of death and some of us still being in it. It can be thought, well, don't talk about heaven. That's mournful. No, it's not. It's actually looking to heaven that gives us hope and life today. I think it's really interesting, just as a side point, but I do like to emphasize it. Who here regards themselves as attractive and beautiful? Amy, yes! You are attractive and beautiful, Amy. Amy is girlfriend of Sunny, son of Andrew. And I have said already to her this morning, good morning, smiley people. I have never seen a family beaming so much. And that was a week before the baptism, let alone on the baptism itself. You are attractive and beautiful. Whatever the world may say and says to so many teenage girls, you are attractive and beautiful. Christine Legg, who sat right in front of me. I'm not looking at anybody else. I've got a line of three people. I've got Sheila, Amy, and Christine. All three of you are attractive and beautiful with the radiant life of Christ. And in heaven, the world's view of the beautiful people, the people on Love Island, the world's view of attractiveness and beauty is completely bunkum. Is it not? Is it not? The world says who's attractive and beautiful? Those who have upon them the radiance of Christ. And we can all have that when we put our faith in Jesus. We are transformed from one degree of glory to another. And as I look around here, I can see a whole lot of people who look like Jesus. Attractive and beautiful you are. I could go on for a long time, but then I'd break my promise if it was a short message. So that's the background. This is the main question for today. Who or what will you put your faith in? There's lots that could come out of this chapter, If you go home and read it, ponder it, there'd be all sorts of preachers bring all sorts of things. I can only bring a couple of things. But the number one thing, who or what will you put your faith in? Tyre and Sidon were cities in Phoenicia. Some of you may have heard of the Phoenicians. And they, oh, I remember them from history. It's modern-day Lebanon, north of Israel. They put their trust in their skill. That's what this Bible tells us. Tyre relied upon its strength. Apparently, it was an island fortress. You could only approach it across a causeway. Anybody been to St. Michael's Mount? And yes. Well, it was like that, in the sense of, you know, you got a causeway to get there, and therefore it thought it was secure. It was a stronghold. It can only, you know, we can defend ourselves. No one can get to us. The Hebrew word for Tyre is rock. So there was a pun in this passage. They were relying upon their being a stronghold. It didn't save them, by the way, which we'll hear about later. They were very wealthy. They were centers of trade and commerce. All those trade routes all went through this area. And they were so wealthy, silver was heaped up just like dust. Just like dust on the floor. There was so much silver. Gold was like dirt on the streets. Forget about being paved with gold. There weren't even paving slabs. It was just dirt. There was so much gold. It was as common as muck. The Phoenicians were sailors. They were a sailing nation. That's why they explored all sorts of places. The Phoenicians trusted in their power on the sea. They were a renowned seafaring nation. But none of those will work. They were defeated. The causeway didn't save them. The cities of the Philistines, the Ashkelon, the Ashdod, the Gaza, and all that sort of stuff there, were a bit lower down. They're on the southern side of Israel, southwestern part of Israel, right next to it. They were relying on Tyre and Sidon up north to attack Israel to keep them busy. So they couldn't rely on them. Gaza was relying on its king and their gods and their forbidden worship practices involving evil sacrifices, child sacrifice, and eating their forbidden meat between their lips, between their teeth. None of the Philistines' things they were trusting in, their gods, their alliances, their worship, none of that would work. But people of Judah, you need to trust in God, the Lord of hosts, who alone will defend you against your enemies. He is the one to protect you, to keep watch over you. He is the one who will take away the war horses and the chariots from Jerusalem and who will free the prisoners. It's the Lord of hosts who will shield his people and give them victory. That's who you put your trust in. Interestingly, and you can check on this, and there's lots of history around it. I found history fascinating. Totally boring when I was a teenager because they taught it so badly. But now I find history fascinating. Alexander the Great, I know very little about Alexander the Great, but he basically stormed all over this land and set up the Greek Empire. And it's interesting that God used him to defeat the enemies of Israel. When he established the Greek Empire in 332 BC, there's a fact. And interesting, Alexander spared the temple and the city. So he was an instrument of God. But even Alexander and the Greek Empire didn't last for long. Got taken over by the Roman Empire. So who will you put your faith in? Will you put your faith in the Lord of hosts? This is the challenge that Leslie and I have had over these last, well, it's 6 months, but the last 3 weeks or so particularly. Who are you going to trust in? We were recommended radiotherapy, and we asked for what it was and what the side effects were. And it was like, it sounded like you were in a torture chamber as you went through this particular therapy. And it was quite clear that God has said, I've healed you, then it's not appropriate to do this. The trust is in the Lord. And then we found out that radiotherapy would only buy a bit of time. Our trust is in the Lord. And Leslie, she came out of the shower, she said, I've just realised it's Jesus only. He's the only one who can help you. You're lost without him. And it's true. And it takes sometimes big things to make us really realise we're lost without him. So is Jesus going to be the focus of your faith? That's why Jesus comes in the middle of this chapter. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus doesn't come into Jerusalem as a conquering king, riding on a horse or a chariot that the other nations' rulers and emperors and victorious generals would have come in. He doesn't even ride on a mule, which was the usual mount for a king of Israel. Instead, he rides on a colt of a donkey. Now, important men rode on donkeys. If you look through the Bible, you'll find it. But the picture is of humility and peacefulness. Jesus' kingdom is not established by wielding the weapons of war, but by his humble obedience and love that took him to the cross. This is a completely different king that is arriving. Jesus was righteous. He had salvation. God saved him because he died and he rose again, raised by the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had salvation for himself, and he has salvation in his hand for everyone here. And only him. That's why we've got on our text on the wall. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What about you? When attacks come, when difficulties surround you and threaten to overwhelm you, Jesus calls you to come to him, to put your trust in him. He understands what it is to be human. He understands what it is to suffer, and he's done something else that nobody else here has done. He died. He suffered and he died. So he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Whatever you are carrying, give to Jesus. Take his yoke, the double yoke that you and he carried together, and receive from him the burden you're to carry. Lay down what you've got, pick up what he gives you. Don't rely on who you are, your status, like Tyre and Sidon. Don't rely upon human wisdom. Don't rely upon your own strength. People kept on saying through all this, you're looking very strong and fit. I said, yes, I am. I can't understand what's going on. I don't think it can be happening. But even that, I'm not relying on my own strength. We don't rely on money. There's not enough money in the world to buy your soul. You can't rely on any earthly power at all. Don't be like the Philistines, relying on other people, other gods, false gods. They're all false gods, only one God. Trust in the Lord of hosts. Trust in Jesus. While we're waiting for him to act, be patient. Who's good at being patient? I'm halfway. I'm getting better. Good. Getting better. While we're waiting for him to act, be patient. He will act to defend and save you. Jesus will ride in to deliver you. Not like the Lone Ranger, you know, hey-ho, Tonto. No, Jesus will ride in to deliver you. Not on a white charger, but on a donkey. Humbly, gently, peacefully. And do turn to his word. Listen for his voice. We don't have just the book of Zechariah anymore. We've got the whole Bible. I hope you're reading the Bible at home. Just read a bit every day as God leads you, whether it's a gospel, whether it's using the notes. There are free notes outside you can take. Whatever it is, read a bit each day. As we read our reading every morning and every evening, God spoke powerfully every time. Just the word we needed. Just the word we needed. The Holy Spirit will quicken, will bring alive to you what you need for that day. And I just want to bring just one more verse to you. This is from Psalm 27, which I've quoted for a number of days today. We'll hear a bit more in a moment. Just hear this. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us when we are confronted with bereavement, sickness, money problems, great sadness, and we turn anywhere else apart from you. Lord, forgive us. You are the one who cares and has the power to save us. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Let's have a moment of quiet where we bring to the Lord our concerns, our distress for ourselves. Lord, we confess our faith. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. We're going to sing a song now to seal that prayer, and then we'll have a short time to pray for others before we finish. This song is a declaration of trust in the Lord.
Lord's my shepherd, I'm not far.
Let's use the faith we have, whether it's new today, whether it's been strengthened today. Let's use the faith we have to pray as the Lord leads us for those who need his help, his deliverance, his salvation. Might be in your heart you have a number of people that you want to give to the Lord. If he has a word for you to know, how, so he shows you how to pray, listen for it in this time. If there's a prayer that you want to pray that we can all join in with, then speak it out loud.
Lord, we give to you those who have
heard bad news. Those who are still coming to terms with bad news.
Pray for Jamie, Lord.
Yeah, bless Jamie, Lord.
Pray for his healing, Lord. And we pray for that he will find your peace, Lord. Lord, we want to see him. We want to see him sitting in church again. We want him restored. We want him filled with the joy of the Lord, because that is what you said, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we keep that joy, Lord, if we have that trust in you, Lord, and joy is that no matter what happens, even if, Lord, you don't heal, that we've got the joy. That we've got the joy of the Lord to spend the rest of eternity with Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray for Paul. Father, he's been so strong in praying for us. But he needs to go for himself. Father, I pray that his hope has been set carefully before Paul. So that he can unlock the help that he so desperately needs. Father, we know that you view nothing as impossible. And so we place it in your hands today.
Amen. Lord, we pray for those who are waiting.
Join in your house this morning. We thank you and praise you for the miracle that we've had given to us through Stephen's health. We just thank you for that miracle. It is joy in our hearts. So we take that joy for Jamie, Lord, and we believe, Lord, that you have your hand upon him. We pray, O Lord, for a miracle in Jamie's life. And that, Lord, that you would just bring him into our midst, and Lord, that you would heal him. That, Lord, that it would not be a long time, but, Lord, it would be a short time. We thank you, and thank you for the joy that is in this place today, because we have seen a miracle in this place, and we just give you thanks this morning, because you are the great King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We just want to thank you this morning that you've answered our prayers.
Thank you,
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, there's someone in this congregation this morning who shared with me confidentially about their health concerns and is awaiting medical appointments. Lord, you know who that person is, and I just pray that you will have your hand upon them, that you will give them peace and assurance, and grant your healing, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen. We pray that in the waiting time, people will hear your voice. Lord, we pray that the enemy's destructive voice, you know, we know the enemy only comes to steal and kill and destroy. Lord, we pray that the enemy's voice will be silenced, and that for those waiting, they will hear your voice, the still quiet voice, the whisper of your love. Help us, Lord, to pray, and help us, Lord, also to listen and speak your word. Lord, you know how we have been impacted by the words that others have spoken, given by you. And Lord, may we be a congregation, a church here that grows, and all those who are coming from other churches, wherever they've come from, may each church be a place where your word is heard and spread to build up the body. Amen.
Father, I want to thank you that you've answered our prayers for Cindy and Coffin, sorry, name's written wrong. And that you've enabled her to come to the home just across the road from him. Mm-hmm. Lord, it was lovely to see him in church a couple of weeks ago, and he was really wanting you to bring her to that home. And you have answered the prayers
Thank you.
It might be just a simple prayer, but it is a prayer.
Yeah.
And so we thank you for Colin and Cindy,
yes,
for all the years that they've been married and been together. And now time has come for them to be set apart, but not too far. Less than we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for Hilary, the wonderful woman of God that she is, and we continue to pray for your peace, for your will to be done, and for your kingdom to come.
Yes, Lord.
Please rest on her this time, and on Nick and her family. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Because he lives, I
can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know
Alfie, you've got a picture you want to show me or not? You don't have to. That's fine. We're just going to finish with a song that looks forward to the party. Looks forward to the party. Why do you weep? Why do you look so sad? We have a heavenly hope, a certain hope, a sure hope. So we'll finish with this song. And I hope it stays with you all day. As an earworm from God that that your King is high. His evil at the gate of Jerusalem. He is coming on the morning, coming on the morning sky. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.